بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاۃ والسلام علی اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وصحبہ وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. فما بعد، برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز، مینی ایئرز اگو 1983 آئی اٹینڈڈ اے بیہیویئرل سائنس ورک شاپ کالڈ دی ٹی گروپ، دی ٹرانزیکشن گروپ، دیٹس دی نیم آف دی میتھڈالوجی. اٹ واز اے ٹو ویک پروگرام اینڈ افیکٹولی اٹ واز a program focused on the self in the here and now. So we all would sit on the ground. It was a sort of very Indian thing, although T group technology itself is very American in that sense. So we all sit on the ground and then we would talk about practically anything in life and the facilitator would keep bringing us back to here and now, and they would say, okay, what are you feeling now? What are you feeling now? And people would give feedback to each other. Reflecting back on it, it was a kind of Tazkiyah program, if you like to call it, and without the words Tazkiyah used in it, without any Islamic connotation whatsoever. But it was a program focused on the self, on trying to be in touch with yourself, on trying to understand yourself, on trying to articulate your feelings, identify those feelings, articulate those feelings, trying to understand why those feelings came, where they came from, all of these kinds of things. This was the purpose of the program. The organization which did that is called ISABS, Indian Society for Applied Behavioral Science. I was so impressed with it, and I also benefited from it hugely, that I enrolled for their professional development program, which was a four-year course. At the end of 4 years, you got a professional membership of the organization of ISABS. To give you a perspective on what that is like, it is like the CA. Chartered Accountancy Program or something like that, which is a program that is based on practical application of the methodology, coupled, of course, with a lot of reading and article writing, thesis writing, and so on and so forth. So it was like a PhD program, basically, without getting a PhD at the end of it. So although a lot of people like to call me doctor, so many people do nowadays that I've stopped correcting them. I think I've taken the view of the colloquial Arab Ammiya way of address, where if they don't know what you are, they call you doktor. So I think that is the kind of doctor I am. Not much good for anybody who has a cold. So the whole point of this program was to know yourself. The reason I'm mentioning it here is because in connection with the issue of Tazkiyatun Nafs or Tarbiyatul Akhlaq, which, as I mentioned yesterday, we have seemed to have lost it, which is to focus on ourselves, the purification of the self, Tazkiyatun Nafs. Now, what does that mean? It means that, for example, am I aware that I am the victim of jealousy, for example? Now, you see this all the time. You see this very, very clearly in our Muslim organizations. We see it in the way, in how jealously we guard every seat that we sit on, to the extent that we don't mind the organization itself being destroyed if that is what has to happen for me to retain the chair on which I am sitting. I have this sudden vision of a person sitting in a big, huge, massive, very beautiful building, and the whole building is falling apart around his ears until everything is down, gone, and all you see is this one man sitting in the midst of ruins on the foundation of what used to be a building. I think there's no shortage of examples of that in our Muslim organizational world. We have plenty, and may Allah protect us. We seem to create new ones all the time. All the stories of Muslim dynasties and Muslim empires are also the same, they are on the same trend, which is that whatever can happen, the dynasty can be destroyed, the empire can be destroyed, all power and influence can go, as long as my seat as the Sultan, as the Imam, as the head of the organization, as long as that remains. We completely lose sight of the fact that you are the head of an organization, and that makes sense only as long as there is an organization. If the organization itself is gone, then what are you head of? You're head of what? Now, that's something that may Allah protect us. I think this, we can't seem to understand that. The reason for it is lack of tazkiyah. Because if a person cannot overcome his or her jealousy, if a person cannot put the need of the organization, the need of the community, over and above their own need, if a person cannot put, if they cannot subject their ego to whatever is in their minds, then how can we have success? How can we build anything? But we see this all the time. Jealousy and envy, two of the things that Rasulullah so strongly warned us against. And he said that these are the two killers. As if we needed the words of a prophet to understand that. Anyone with half a brain knows that jealousy and envy are the killers of all good effort and all good action. So also greed. Today the world is reeling with the effect of greed. And what is greed? Greed is to want more than what you need. Hatim al-Asam, rahmatullahi alayhi, used to say that anything which is zayad anil darura, more than what you need, must be given away. And his definition of what is more than what is needed was, subhanAllah, I won't even mention that, because you will say, oh, this is impossible. Because we have got used to living our lives and used to collecting stuff. We are worse than squirrels. If you look at the average person, I'm not even talking about, anybody who's very wealthy. I'm talking about an average person. If you look in our houses and if you look at the stuff which is there, if you do a spring cleaning or if you just go do an inventory of the house, of the garage, of the attics, of the basements, of wherever we collect things, if we just do a inventory of that and we say what is there, I can bet you, I can absolutely guarantee you that you are going to find things that you did not even remember or recall having. Now, my point is, if you don't even know it is there, how is that thing of any use to you? Yet, we cling to it. How many of us are there who say, I've got too many clothes, I'm going to give them away? Just like that. I'm just going to give away the clothes that I haven't worn for the last 1 year, say for example. I'm being very generous. Whatever I haven't worn for the last 1 year, I will give away. And those who can reduce that period, all power to you. Because if you haven't even worn that thing one time in the last 1 year, why are you hanging on to it? What are you going to do with it? Because all of this, and the same thing, I'm just talking about clothes, but the same thing applies to everything else. Whatever you are not using, and believe me, this is not even, as far as Islam is concerned, this is not even, this is good to do, but it's not something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us gets close to him. Because he said, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said, you have to give what you love. Not what you forgot about, not what you threw away, not your trash, not your surplus, not your garbage. If you think that we are going to give garbage to Allah and get close to him, sorry, that's not going to happen. So Allah said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah said, you cannot get close to Allah, you cannot attain the status of birr until you spend in the path of Allah that which you love the most. That is the standard of Islam. So greed.
love for possessions, love for keeping things. I mean, why would you love to keep something when you know that when we die, they are going to take away everything? Every single thing is going to be taken away from us by those we love the most, because those who are going to do our ghusl, may Allah grant it to us, will be those who love us the most. You know, our children, our students, our family members, those who loved us the most are the ones who will do the ghusl of my janaza, and they are the ones who are going to take away everything from me, including the clothes on my body, and they will wrap me in one sheet of cloth and they will put me into the ground and they will throw mud on my face. That is the reality. That is the reality. So why must I cling to the stuff which I have collected in my life? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me a life where I restarted my life 3 or 4 times. And every time I restarted my life, it started with 2 suitcases. The first time I restarted my life, those 2 suitcases also got lost. So I literally restarted my life with the shirt on my back. The next couple of times, I had more than the shirt on my back. But the benefit of restarting is that this thing I understood, that all those things which I had, which I loved so much and so on and so forth, today I have to think back about them. For example, when we moved from Bangalore to the United States in 1997, the things we loved the most were our books, and all of those we gave, every single one we gave away. There was some very nice furniture which we had made, specially made to order. About one piece of that furniture, I have even written my book about the carpenter and the lessons I learned from that, and so on and so forth. All of that stuff went. Every single thing we gave away. We didn't even sell it, because some of this was not even saleable. So we just gave it away. Today we have to think back and recollect. Oh, we used to have this. It's definitely not something we miss. It's definitely not something that I even think about once in a year. Definitely not something that we feel nostalgic about. Absolutely nothing. So the point is that what was that thing worth even when we had it, when that was the level of attachment to it? And Alhamdulillah, that is what is required. This attachment to things, attachment to, and then being greedy about something. All of this is the issue of tazkiyatun nafs. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the right muslihin, the right murabbiyin, the right mentors, and the right correctors of myself when I needed them, and this continues to happen. I am most grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me these people in my life. Point I want to make is that is absolutely critical for anyone who is looking for spiritual development, and anyone looking to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no running, just like there is no running away from the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no running away from the guidance of the right muslih, of the right teacher, of the right corrector, of the right mentor, and we need that. Where you're going to find them, I don't know, not in Walmart, but Allah knows best where you're going to find them, but they are few and far between. And please don't get misguided by degrees or by graduation from here and there. It is the quality of the man, the quality of the person, the quality of the woman, because it can be a man or a woman, which is something that comes out of their own working on themselves. It is not something that I'm not saying that they didn't get it in a university. They could have got it there as well, but there's no guarantee that you go to a university and you come out of there completely purified internally and externally. On the other hand, the opposite is more likely, which is that you go to university and you come out of there full of arrogance, full of kibur, because you think that I am this great sheikh and I am this great maulana and I am this great murshid, that I have this degree and that degree and I have made hifz of the Quran and so forth. But the Quran has not gone down below the throat. The Quran has not come into the actions. The Quran has not come into the heart. The Quran has not come into the mu'amilat, the dealings of the person. So it is very, very critical to understand that it's absolutely critical to, I won't even say critical to survival or critical to success, because this success and survival is for the akhirah. This is for forever. Therefore, this must take precedence even over what we would consider critical to success and critical to survival in this world. And that is to find the right musleh, to find the right character, the right mentor, who can then guide us, inshallah, and do our islah. Final point I want to make is that islah, like surgery, by definition, is painful. If it is not painful, then it is not islah. As simple as that. Because if there is no blood, it's not surgery. If there is no pain, it's not surgery. I mean, you know, don't get sidetracked by thinking that, oh, but you see, there's anesthesia. In Islam and in self-improvement, there's no anesthesia. It's surgery without anesthesia. So be prepared to feel the pain. If you're not feeling the pain, then it means that your musleh is really either not interested in you or doesn't know what to do, or is doing it for reasons other than benefiting you. You know, maybe he's doing it for the fee of paying him or something. I will even go to the extent of saying that a musleh is somebody who does not charge you a fee. So you don't go to a musleh and pay them money to do your islah. A musleh will do your islah if he is interested in you. And whether he is interested in you or not, you know, is for you to create that interest in him, that he is willing to share with you his life's learnings. He is willing to share with you his the things which are valuable beyond money, and he is willing to give them to you free because he is genuinely interested in you and loves you. And if that is not the case, then that's not the right musleh for you. So it's not a matter of fees. I would go to the point of saying that if somebody wants to do your tazkiyah and is charging money for it, then that's not the right person to go to. Simple as that, right? It's not the right person to go to. Go to somebody who will do it for love. Because what somebody will not do for love, don't ask them to do for duty, don't ask them to do for money. Definitely not for money. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And again, I keep going back over and over again. Why do I say that? Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us as the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me, who paid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for their islah? If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam charged a fee to do the islah of somebody, you charge a fee. If somebody paid the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for their islah, then you can pay your murshid. And if that didn't happen, then you ask yourself, why is it that this person is taking money from you, and why is it that you think that you are paying them money, and that's the right thing to do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to get the right muslihin and to submit ourselves, because that is the most critical thing. The most critical thing is to have the humility to accept that you need correction. Arrogance is the biggest shield against islah, and something that will take us straight into the lap of shaitan and where shaitan is going, which is jahannam. And that is arrogance. That is this pride in ourselves and pride in whatever little we know, which makes us look down upon people, humiliate people, discourage people instead of being kind to them, instead of being supportive to them. We look at their faults instead of looking at the fact that here is a person who is sincere enough to want something from me for their benefit. May Allah protect us from that. I'm speaking to here to myself as well as to those who seek islah and those who think they can do islah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.